man, it's so good to have you here with us. We've got a bunch of preachers in the house, and that's always great to have a bunch of preachers. A little intimidating, but it's always great. So we're just glad to have you guys. I hope that you're just able just to relax, put your mind at ease, and just let the Spirit of the Lord touch you this morning. It's hard for preachers sometimes to relax, and they carry a large load. You should pray for preachers, and that they can just cast those cares on the Lord. Amen. I told you last week that I reserved the right to preach the same passage of Scripture again, because I had in my heart that maybe the Lord was wanting me to. There's so many messages in this passage, and I just felt like maybe the Lord was going to come back over this with me again, and He did. So we're in Philippians chapter 3. I want to read to you verses 10 through 16. And then some point during the sermon, we're going to go to Exodus chapter 33, which I think I put on the slide. So you'll be able to read that with me when I get there. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 through 16, and I titled this sermon, Show Me Your Ways. And verse 10 says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us as many as we are mature have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. And let us pray. Father God, we worship and we honor You. So thankful, Lord, that You are in this place, that Your glory is in this place. As we have lifted our words and a melody of praise before You today, Father, I believe that You have received that with joy. God, I believe that our worship makes You glad. Lord, we're grateful for that because You have made us glad. You have brought so much joy and comfort into our life. God, we don't know what we would do without You. We don't want to live one day without the knowledge that You are right here with us. You stand by our side, as this song says. God, I pray today as we go through this word, that revelation knowledge of the Word of God becomes alive. God, that You would speak to each and every heart. God, I pray that the downcast would be encouraged. Lord, those of us that are just coasting, God, would have a little bit of a fire, Lord, lit underneath us. And God, those that need the boot of heaven to get us off our seats, God, I pray the Spirit of God would take the boot of heaven and give us a little nudge today for our benefit, God, for us to know You, not to coast along in Christianity, but to know You intimately. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in Your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 I've titled this sermon, Show Me Your Ways. And you know, we as people have ways, do we not? You know, the Bible says that the people of Israel knew His acts, but Moses knew His ways. There's a difference in acts and ways. My wife has ways. You know her acts. I know her ways. I know when that little Reagan temper flares up. And we just moved into a new house, and I think it's frustrated her really bad because you can't slam the doors in the house because they got this closure. So if she goes to slam it, it's going to stop and close. She don't slam doors. I'm teasing. You know, I have my ways too. I'm a peculiar guy. I just admit it to you. My wife says that I'm not OCD, but she's pretty sure I live in the neighborhood. So Sarah Witt came over and helped us as we were moving, and she likes to frustrate me because she's knowing my ways. And she would go into the dining room, and she takes our dining room chairs and she just moves them just a little bit. And I sit there until she'll turn her back, and then I jump up and I run to the diner and I straighten those chairs. And little details, the carpet has got to be straight. You know, the rugs on your floor, they've got to be straight. If they're just drives me crazy. Those are my ways. It's idiosyncrasies. I'm a weird man. I stand before you, readily admit it. You know, Paul is saying, I have a desire, first and foremost, to know him. I know you know him. But do you know him? And I know you're saying, okay, Pastor, you're not making any sense. I think much of the church is infatuated with Jesus. Do you remember puppy love? Seventh, eighth grade, ninth grade, man, you just thought you were in love with somebody, to find out that next week you're in love with somebody else. My, how the heart changes. Infatuation. And I think that if we're not careful as God's people, we can be infatuated with him, but not really in love with him. You see, love really costs you something. Paul said, I want to count everything as loss. Nothing else in life matters to me other than knowing him. Oh, think about that. Wrap your head around that for just a second. Can you say that? Can you say that Jesus means more to me than my spouse? He's supposed to. More to me than my career? More to me than the money in my bank account are the things that I have. Everything else is nothing in comparison to him. It's what Paul said. I think that we live in a day of social media where Facebook has distorted our relationships. See, I think that people think they know each other when they don't really know each other. We see President Trump come on television and, oh, I know him. No, you don't. Athletes, you may know their stats. You may know everything about them, but you don't know them. Movie stars, we think we know them because of the way they act. Then they get on TV in a political sense and we'll think, I think often, I don't even like them. I definitely don't know them. And sometimes I think with people we go to church with, we think we know them. And most likely we don't. They used to say that if you didn't have about 6 phone numbers in the church of the church people, you wasn't even connected to the church. But times have changed. We don't even know our own phone number anymore because of cell phones. Every time somebody asks me Treva's phone number, I have to pick up my phone and go to contacts and look up my own wife's phone number. It's changed our world. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're not having dinner with somebody, you probably don't know them. Now, say, Pastor, why'd you choose that? Because Christ had dinner with people. And there's something about eating with people that we begin to exchange ideas. And some of you with your mouth open, I wish you'd work on that. You know, when Jesus met Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus wanted to know Jesus, so he climbs a tree where he can see him. Well, just because you see him doesn't mean you know him. And Jesus walked by and he said, Zacchaeus, you need to come down from there because I'm going to your house. Why? Because you have a desire to know me, but I have a desire to know you. And when Zacchaeus knew him, when Zacchaeus really knew Jesus, his heart began to change. Hey, Jesus, I'm an unclean man. And I've done things bad. And if I've cheated people, I want to give it back to them. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, that's God. A lot of people claim to be Christians, but when God comes in your life, you want to make right the wrongs. Those of you that maybe had business practices that wasn't really moral, real common, unfortunately, but not real moral. But when you come with Christ, when Christ gets your heart, you got to stop that nonsense. Because conviction hits you. The one person in Scripture, when I think about knowing God, I think about Moses. Moses knew God. Psalms 103 says, he made known his ways. Now that's a course of life. The way he lived, the way he was. Moses knew his ways, his acts. The children of Israel knew his acts, and that was a performance. They knew what he did. In Isaiah chapter 55, the Lord speaks and he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, if you make God to be a man, you're not really serving God. We were made in his image. But he's so far beyond us, it's pitiful. We don't make God man. Because you're going to be really disappointed if your God becomes a man. He's so far beyond us, I can't comprehend him most of the time. I read this word. As someone that's been saved for over 50 years, I still read his word and think, what in the world does that mean? And I can't figure it out, and you can't either. Because you can't figure out the word of God. The word of God must be revealed to you. It comes by revelation. So if you're reading the Word without praying, Spirit of God, reveal this to me. Help me to understand your ways. Because 1 Corinthians 2:16 says he's given us the mind of Christ. So in the Old Testament, Isaiah said, oh, his ways are high above our ways and his thoughts beyond our thoughts. But in the New Testament, Paul wrote, but he's given us his mind. In other words, within the body of Christ, you have this unique ability to think the thoughts of God. But are we accessing it? Let me read this to you in the book of Exodus. He says in chapter 33, I think you have that on up there. Verse 7, he says, Moses took his tent. Now this is when they're leaving Sinai. After Aaron had built the golden calf, Moses has come off the mountain with the Ten Commandments and been very disturbed when he got back in town to see how the people were acting. And so Moses took his tent and he pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people rose and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. The cloud was symbolic of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit descended and stood at the door of Moses' tent, is what the word is saying. And the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshiped, each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, Moses said to God, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here." Have you ever thought about that? God, if your presence is not with me, then I'm in a place I don't need to be. I don't want to be anywhere, God, where you are not with me. Your manifest presence. I love this because Moses did some things. And I see as Moses would go to this tent of tabernacle where the Holy Spirit would descend and speak to him, that everybody else reverenced it, but they kept away from it. Except for Joshua, who said he wouldn't even leave. Have you ever been in the presence of God in a church service, maybe, where God's presence descended and you couldn't hardly get people to leave? I'm telling you, when the glory of God rests on a place, people are not in a hurry. They'll say, "Let the roast burn. I'm going to stand here in the presence of God." I find that everybody, it seems like today, wants to stay in the door of their tent and watch church. Well, I'll watch it on TV or watch others. Let me tell you, worship is a participating sport. You get in, you get out of it what you put in it. It's not good enough to stand and watch people worship. You got to take a step into the water. You got to worship yourself where the glory begins to fall down upon you. Too many of us are standing back. We're saying, "Well, we're just going to hold on a little. I'm just a reserved person. I'm just going to stand back here and watch things. And if I feel comfortable, I'll take a step in towards God's presence." And I just come to tell you, it doesn't work that way. You've got to take a step towards God. James chapter 4 verse 7 says, "You draw near to me." You hear that? You draw near to me. We keep saying, "Jesus, draw me close." And he says, "No, you come close. You take a step towards me and you'll see the glory of God in your life." Moses did some very important things that I saw. Just a couple that I wanted to bring out to you. The very first thing that I saw that Moses did is he took his tent and he moved it away from the people. He moved it outside of the camp. See, if you're going to draw close to God, if you really want to know the ways of God, you're going to have to leave others behind. You're going to have to get out of Dodge and move closer to him. Moses said, "I'll be close enough that I can help you, but I can't be this attached to you people. I've got to detach from this world to attach to God. Oh, that's good. That's really good. I hope you got that. John come along and says, come out from the world. Come out from the world. Be separate, says the Lord. You are living the most frustrated life that you can live when you grab hold of Jesus with one hand but refuse to let go of the world with the other. You've got to let go. You hear me? This may be Christianity 101, but we still need to hear it. You've got to let go of the things of the world and move close to Him. So Moses moved out. He took his tent and he moved it away from camp. Are you willing to move your tent away from the town? But the next thing is he called his dwelling place the tabernacle of God. Ooh, this is good. See, in the Old Testament, God may have dwelt in a building. He did dwell in a building. But in the New Testament, he dwells in us. 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 6, says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Moses said, I'm going to take my tent and I got to move it away a little while. And then he says, this is not the tent of Moses anymore. This is the tabernacle of God. He dedicated his house to the house of God. You get this? And then when he did that, the Bible says that when Moses would go in to seek him, that a cloud would come down and rest upon Moses' tent. Why? Because he did some very great things. He moved away from the people. He declared that my house is the house of God. See, this is my house. Paul said, this is nothing but a tent. But it's the tent that God gave me to live in. Well, I declare today that this tent is the tent of God. There's sometimes when you just got to declare it. Because there's other voices that are calling out to you. Trying to get you to mix and mingle. Some of you wonder, why don't I ever hear from God? It's probably because you're dwelling in among other people. You need to move. You got to get out. You got to get out. Where people are, there's a lot of noise. A lot of chaos, a lot of buzzing, a lot of gossip, a lot of unrighteous living. And Moses said, I just can't be a part of that anymore. And he pitched his tent a little bit outside of the camp. We need to do that. Let me say it just another way. We need to silence our world to hear the voice of God. I think that sometimes we've just got to have noise. I know people that leave their TV on all the time. They're not watching TV, but they got to have noise in the house. You get in their car, their radio's going. Why? Because they got to have noise. Child of God, turn it off. Turn off the TV. Throw the magazines away. Turn the radio off. You say, but Pastor, I listen to worship music. That's wonderful. But once in a while, turn it off. Because you need to quit listening to praise worship music and you need to start listening to the voice of God. And let me, I just found this out. God will not compete with all the other voices. He wants your undivided attention. I hope you hear me. I wanted to scream every word that's coming out of my mouth today. We've got to silence the world. You've got to bring some quiet into your life so that you can just concentrate on Him. I wonder how many of us have anxiety and nervous tension in our mind because we're never silent. Would you just be honest with me for a second? How many have a hard time just turning your mind off? You have a hard time sleeping at night because you just can't quiet the noise. Maybe you can't. He can. You do the things that you can do, and God will take care of the rest. You turn the outside noise off and then ask the Lord, Jesus, will you turn off my brain for a little bit? Because I just want to concentrate on you. You know, we have Saturday night prayer. And I found something. I have found that rarely do you feel the fire of the Holy Ghost at the beginning of the service. You know, sometimes we come and we're just so tired. And the worship, you know, the Saturday night prayer usually lasts. Now, you can come and go if you want to stay 5 minutes, 10 minutes. But the normal service is about an hour and a half. And it seems like the first 30 minutes sometimes is nothing but a struggle. Man, we're just pushing. We're just doing those prayers that you know you ought to pray. And then somewhere in the midst of it, it becomes easy. Does this make sense to you? And it's like in this Saturday night prayer, in the first few minutes, we've come out of the world. We've pitched our tent closer to Him. And then He has our attention. Please listen to this statement. He will not compete with the world's noise. You get that? Jesus will not compete with all the other things that you have in your life going on. He will not compete with that. Paul said, I push. See, Christians today, it seems like we just want Him to do everything. Well, if He wants me, He'll just come down and take me. No, I'm sorry, it's not that way. You're going to have to push. You're going to have to be intentional if you really want to know Him. If you're satisfied with just making it to heaven, first of all, I want to say that's one of the most selfish things I've ever heard in my life. Because if you tell me, I'm all right, I know I'm going to make it to heaven. Yes, who cares? Well, obviously you do. But do you not want to take your children with you? Are there not friends? Are there not people in your life that you want to make sure goes to heaven also? Are there not? Do you not want to represent Him well? You can't do that living in amongst the world. Paul said, I press on. There's an urgency in my soul to know Him. You know, John Bevere, he said that the church today is seeking God's hands, but not His face. Oh, have you ever watched a blind person meet someone intimately? When they really want to know them, they'll say, "Can I feel you? Can I touch you?" Don't you want to feel the face of God? Don't you want to just know Him intimately? You know, every relationship costs you something. Do you know that? Relationships cost. It costs you time, money, energy. It costs you to push forward a little bit. I have met people in my life that I have come away and thanked God for the opportunity of knowing that person. And you're probably just like me. There's other people in my life that I've met that I think, dear Jesus, why'd you have me meet them? Paul says, there's some things that I must do. I've got to forget the past. I've got to push forward, and I've got to forget who I used to be. I don't care who you were. That's not who you are. I was talking to a cousin the other day at a family reunion, and he said this statement. He said, well, I guess I'm still an alcoholic. And I didn't say anything because I figure he probably is. See, the way of the world is once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. You may quit drinking, and my cousin had quit drinking. He's dry. He hasn't drank in a long time. But he recognizes he's probably still got that potential. You see, I find that it's only the grace of God that changes us from the inside out, that makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus. So if you were an alcoholic and then you met Jesus and he changes your desires, I think it's wrong for you to call yourself an alcoholic. If you've done it out of self-will and you're going to AA meetings, which I have great respect for, and you're just making you're turning over a new leaf, then I'd say, yeah, you're probably right. You're still an alcoholic, but you keep doing the things you're doing because it's wonderful if you've stopped doing that. But I don't want to just stop old behaviors. I want to be a new creature in Christ. I want the old things to be gone and the new things to come. And Paul was saying, I've got a past. And I have to forget that past. Now let me tell you, his long past was terrible. He killed Christians. His short past was wonderful. The things that he did yesterday was writing the Word of God, was starting churches all over Asia. He didn't say, I forget the long past. He said, I've got to forget the past. In other words, Christian, I don't care what you did yesterday. What are you doing today matters. There's some of you in this room that... long time ago, you used to be rough, you used to be mean, and you've got to forget that. Because Jesus forgave that, and he even wipes away the shame. You're not who you used to be. Thank you, Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, if you've been serving Jesus since 1950, and at one time you were on fire for God, but today you can't get your butt out of the chair, you need to forget 1950 and start living for Jesus today. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost come back in you today. He said this, though. He said, I want to lay hold. Listen to this. Paul said, I want to lay hold of the things that Christ Jesus has laid hold of for me. Man, I love that statement. Do you realize there is something so unique about each one of you? We could call it weird, but I'd rather call it unique. You're a unique, special individual. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, he knew you. And I believe this. I believe that God laid hold of something and called it yours at conception. I got to come down again. I don't want to lose you on this one. Before Blake was born, God knew him. And God laid hold of some precious treasure, some unique ability, but he didn't give it to you. But he named it for you. He said, Blake, this is yours. Matter of fact, he could say it this way. This is the real Blake. This is the real Blake. Now, you can walk around it all your life. You can never, ever, ever walk in what God laid hold of for you. But Paul said, that's not good enough for me. He said, I'm forgetting things and I'm pushing forward and I'm laying hold of everything that Jesus has laid hold of for me. So the gifts and the talents that he said are uniquely Blake, Blake has to take hold of it. Blake has to lay claim to it. He's got to write the deed and sign his name. He's got to say, hey, Jesus has already laid hold of it. Now I'm laying hold of it. I take it by the authority that he has placed in me. I want everything that God has given to me. Satan will have you blind all of your life if you're not careful. But God wants to open your eyes. He wants to show you that there is a new dimension. Can I say it that way? There is a new dimension in him. The powerful man and woman of God is there. But are you walking in it? Have you ever felt in your life like you're just being cheated? Like, sometimes you look at other people and you think, man, why does everything work out for them? Have you ever thought, maybe it's you? Maybe I haven't laid hold of what God has for me. Maybe I'm just a shadow of who I really am in Christ. You think you get it all at salvation? You don't. Salvation gets you to Jesus, gets you to heaven. But your soul has got to be redeemed. How's that happen? By the washing of the Word of God. You are transformed. You are brought from glory to glory. Right? You are maturing in Jesus Christ every day that you walk closer to Him. Every day that you get up and say, God, I want your will more than my will. What you're really doing is you're laying hold of the promises of God that He's already laid hold of for you. He's already... I wish I had a treasure box up here that Jesus, when you were conceived, Jesus brings this treasure box and He sets it here and He says, this is your treasure. But she goes through her life broke. Boy, I don't understand why I'm always having such a hard time. Why don't I have the things that God says in His Word that He would give me? He says He'd give me peace and all I know is unrest. And Jesus is saying, hey, treasure box is up here. Come on. Hey, come on up here and get some treasure. Come up here and get what you need. Everything you need. Listen to it in 2 Peter. Everything you need for life and godliness you find in Him. We're doing without, and the treasure is on the altar of God. I'm laying hold of it because I want everything that He has for me in this life, not in heaven. It's going to be in heaven waiting for me. I want it here. Not where I can drive bigger cars, live in nicer houses. Not for me, for you. So we can show others the way and the riches of His grace. He ends this passage of Scripture and He says, have the same mind. Have the same mind. The same mind as Christ? No. His mind. He said, I want you to think these thoughts too. I want the desire that I have to know him, I want it to be your desire. I want you to push forward. I want you to forget the past. I want you to lay hold of the promises of God. Treva, if you would come forward. Dylan, if you turn her piano on. There's an old song we used to sing a couple of decades ago. And it's called Show Me Your Way. It says, show me your way that I may walk with you. Show me your ways, I put my hope in you. The cry of my heart is to love you more, to live with the touch of your hand. Stronger each day, show me your ways. The secret to walking close to God is prayer. You must be a person of prayer. Psalms 91 says, he who dwells in the secret place. Come on, think about that. He who dwells in the secret place. What is the secret place? It's the place of intimacy with the Lord. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, El Elyon, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, El Shaddai, the one I draw my strength from. I don't know about you, but I need El Shaddai in my life. And the only way I'm going to feel the strength of God is to dwell in his secret place. Would you stand with me? I think they got these words. I hope that your desire today is to become like Paul, become like Moses, to make your temple his dwelling place. And to do that, our cry is, show me your way, Lord. Let's sing this together. Just a second. If you're here today and you say, you know, I just need to move out like Moses did. I just need to take my tent and move it away from the city. Move it away from others. I want to ask you just to take a step out of your chair and just come and stand up here, symbolic of saying, I'm moving away from the crowd because I want my tabernacle. I want my tent to be the place of God, to be the tabernacle of the Lord. So if that's you, we're going to continue to sing this. But just take a step forward in faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Sing it again, Treva. Show me your ways that I may walk with you. Show me your way. I put my hope. Touch of your hand, stronger each day. Show me your way. Now let's pray. Father God, we come before you today, and Lord, you see these individuals who have taken a step forward, God. Lord, it takes great courage sometimes to take a step out of that seat and to come and stand symbolically, Lord, saying, I want to move away from the things of the world. And I want my dwelling place to be your dwelling place. And if you don't go, if you don't move, then I won't move, God. But Lord, if you move, I'll move. I just want you more than anything else in this life. I want you. I want to lay hold of those things that are uniquely mine that you purchased to give me. So today, God, I take a step towards heaven. And I'm asking you, Lord, to see this symbolic act as an act of obedience to you, God. Lord, the cry of my heart is to know you more, to be stronger each day, for you to show me your ways. Reveal to me, God. Reveal to me the secrets of heaven that I'm missing, that would unlock the door of opportunity in my life. God, I pray today, Lord, that each one of us, Lord, would know you more intimately than we've ever known you before. God, I pray that there would be no one in this building that would have you second place. Lord, you are first place in our life. You are on the throne of our hearts. Our eyes are upon you, Jesus. We want you more. We want you more than anything else in life. Not just your hand that can do things for us. We want your heart. We want your face to be upon us, to know you intimately. God, we take a step towards you today. We're drawing near to know you. Now, Holy Spirit, fill each and every person with rekindling fire of the Holy Ghost. Fill them, Lord Jesus. Fill them full of your presence, of your fire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Brother Denny, would you come and dismiss us?